Reading tonight, Joshua, the fourth chapter, which is the continuation of the crossing of the Jordan, this time with the setting up of memorial stones so that we do not forget what God has done for us. Joshua 4. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross over before the ark or in the face, right after the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever." And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. So the priest who bore the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed over. Then it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over that the ark of the Lord and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people, and the men of Reuben, the men of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh crossed over armed before the children of Israel, and Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000 prepared for battle crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they had feared Moses all the days of his life. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Command the priests who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan." Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, "Come up from the Jordan." And it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' Then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over this Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" You may be seated. May the Lord bless his word and encourage us by it this evening. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we do bless you for your great goodness to us. We confess that we oftentimes have a real spiritual cancer that is far worse than we know, and sometimes we're not able to self-diagnose. And that is, we forget what you have done for us. And when we forget all the things you have done for us, when some new trial comes up, we act like it's the end of the world, and we start thinking like atheists, that there's no one to help us. We can't even remember something as basic as the Lord is our shepherd. Lord, we thank You for a passage like this and that it teaches us not to forget. It teaches us that we need to remember what You have done for us and tell our children and bless Your holy name so that one generation may praise Your name to the next. Oh Lord, we pray that You would work that in us and in our children down through our generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to divide this chapter very simply into three passages. Verses 1 through 9, we have 12 men and 12 rocks. In verses 10 through 19, we have the Jordan crossing in particular. And in verses 20 through 24, we have a strong encouragement, do not forget. Do not forget. So you may remember from chapter 3, you have this verse there in verse 12. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And then they're not mentioned again. Okay, what do these 12 men do? Well, now we're told the whole story. So basically in verses 1 through 5, these 12 men, each one of them is to take a rock from the middle of the Jordan River, where the priest's feet stand in the middle with the Ark of the Covenant, and then take those 12 stones to their next encampment, which we're told at the end of the chapter is in Gilgal, which is just right over the Jordan River, and to set up a memorial and to commemorate what the Lord had done for them. A couple of things. Notice, every tribe has an interest in this. 12 men, it wasn't 12 priests, it wasn't 12 elders, just 12 men were selected because God's mighty works are for all of God's people to celebrate and praise Him for. Secondly, and I'm going to say this a lot tonight, God's works may not be forgotten. We must not forget what the Lord has done for us. We must celebrate, we must commemorate, and we can't do that if we forget. If we allow the cares of this life and the burdens and the pressures that we carry to make me forget, and we've all had this happen to us, man, the Lord really answered that prayer. I bless You, Lord. And then the next day, we've forgotten, okay? Maybe we need to plaster it on our windshield, not within your driving perspective, okay? But somewhere, don't forget what the Lord did yesterday. And then, of course, if we remember that since Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are our fathers, remember that this is just as much our history as it was Israel's history. Because as it says in Galatians 3:26, by faith in Jesus, you are all the children of Abraham. And so Abraham and his seed, Jesus Christ, through Judah and his line, went across the Jordan River. So this is our history of what God has done for us. And it must be remembered and it must be commemorated. And one of our problems as Christians is that we have spiritual amnesia. Okay, and that we forget, and maybe we remember it for a day or two or for a week or two. Some of you have told me some incredible things over the years the Lord has done for you. And remember, the Lord He sees things in an eternal present. And so for us, the Exodus, man, how many years ago was that? So it's 2,000 back to Jesus, and then it's 1,000 back to David, and then it's about 500 from there back to Moses. So we're talking, oh man, 3,500 years ago, that's a long time. But in the eye of God, in His mind, it's just as fresh as if it happened 3 seconds ago. And so we should be praising Him not only for the things that He accomplishes in our lives, but for the other great works that are recorded for us in history. But it's not only for ourselves. Notice in verses 6 and 7, you've got to tell your children. Now, this is interesting, and this has a whole interesting, I'm going to resist the temptation a little bit, but there's several things going on here. First of all, children, it means you're supposed to be asking questions about what's happened in my family's past and what has God done for us. And maybe if we have scriptures on our wall of our house, which we should, and we have God's two commanded memorials, which are the Lord's Supper and baptism. And maybe we have paintings in our homes or pictures of great works God has done for His people. You need to be interested in these things. You need to ask questions about them. It's your responsibility. You can't just, well, you know, my parents were this or my parents were that. When you're in your 20s and 30s and you find the Christian faith lifeless, you're supposed to engage. You're supposed to ask questions. And as parents, of course, that puts upon us the responsibility of making sure we have, if you will, an attractive faith. That we're aware that God is working in our lives. And that He's walking with us and we're walking with Him. And we remember when He answers prayers and when He teaches us things. And we're learning the history of Scripture or the history of William Tyndall or the history of Blandina or the history of Pastor Yi in China. And we're aware of what God is doing. And we're not self-absorbed and self-focused. But what God is doing, and we heard Rob Johnson a few weeks ago, and we're going to hear Zeki sometime coming up this fall, and the other pastors, of hearing what God is doing. And we need to live this out, parents, and commemorate it and share it so that our children are interested in our faith. It also assumes, young people, that as you get older, you're not a dyna. You remember what a dyna is. Dyna went out, and if you read in Genesis, and she went out to view the daughters of the land. Let me go see how the other side's living. Let me go, I've been in my dad's tents my whole life, but let me go find out how the other girls are doing it. And of course, we know what happened. She got herself in major trouble, and then when her brothers came to defend her and slaughtered a bunch of people to save her reputation, it just created a whole stink. And this is what happens every time. My child's 18. They make their own decisions. Says you, okay, but not says the Lord and not says the Bible. I mean, you have a responsibility as a young adult to say, nope, I've got to follow in the faith of my fathers. That's the covenant that was made for me. And if I don't keep that covenant, I can't blame my parents. I blame me. Because what God has done is not interesting enough to me. I'm more interested in my gaming or my social network or my friends or the latest song from the hellion that's on the airwaves. I mean, these things are serious. God says, set up these rocks. Don't forget what I've done for you. Tell your children it needs to be important to you and it needs to be important to them what I have done for you. And actually, it was so important, lastly, in this first point about 12 men and 12 rocks, that most commentators, and I think I agree with this, believe that verse 9 indicates they set up a second memorial as well. They took 12 stones from the river to the encampment, but Joshua also, and we have to assume this was at the command of God, set up 12 more stones in the middle of the Jordan that was visible after the water came back and commemorated where the Lord had stood, symbolized by the Ark of the Covenant. And they're there to this day. So we had two memorials, where God and His presence were and crossed over the Jordan with His people. And then where they camped, they set up probably a smaller memorial there to commemorate. And what's the lesson? Don't forget. Don't forget. So let me ask you a question. And if you're a little person, you know I ask you when you come up here and see me in the morning, which I love for you to do, and at night too, what are you going to thank the Lord for today? What are you going to thank the Lord for today? What are you going to thank the Lord for today? Now, I talked about my cat before, and I'll talk about Oliver again for a second. If Oliver, if I go home tonight and I find him swinging through the trees like a monkey and trying to fly, I will assume something is badly wrong with him, okay? Because cats, at least not unless they're in my nightmares, don't fly through the trees and swing their paws trying to fly. He's a cat. He's supposed to kill things, okay, and eat them and keep the rodent population down. Now, again, I don't want to compare us to cats, and some of you don't like cats. I know that, okay? But if I pick on dogs, some of you won't like dogs, okay? But what are we to do? You were created never to be happy unless you live praising God. Just let that sink in. You were created never to be happy. I'll say it positively in a minute, but let me say it negatively first. You were created never to be satisfied, never to be happy, never to be contented, never to be fulfilled without praising God and living for His praise. That's what, just like my flying cat, that won't fly, will it? Okay. A non-praising creature, it won't fly. Positively, we have been created to be happiest, most fulfilled, most settled, most resilient under trials when we are remembering what God has done and praising Him for it. It's a very basic lesson. Praise is the way you overcome discontentment. It's the way you overcome lust. It's the way that you... Wait a minute, what am I supposed to do when I wake up on Monday morning? I'm supposed to complain. Of course I am. I heard that on WSB this morning, okay? No, I am to praise. I am to praise God. Well, I don't know that I've got that much to praise Him for. You're 14 years old. Let's say you never have been a drug addict, or you haven't been saved off death row, and you don't have this, you know, flamboyant testimony. Well, you got way better than that. Do you not know that you and your people came up through Egypt because the Exodus is our Exodus? By faith in Christ, because we are the children of God and the children of Abraham, it's our history. And the deliverance of Joseph from the slave dungeon to second in command, that's my history. That's what God did because Joseph was faithful. And so I praise Him for that because that kept the seed alive, because Judah was humbled and convicted and he came to Egypt, and Judah carried with him and eventually became right there in Egypt a picture of the Messiah when He said, "Take me and don't take Benjamin." Okay, this is my history. Or when we read later, you know, the history of our Lord, or we read the history of how, you know, Augustine stood against Pelagius when Pelagius wanted to make the Christian gospel. Oh, we're not fallen. We're born with a blank slate. Okay, and oh man, all those Trinitarian controversies, so boring. Maybe some of the details, but where would we be had God not blessed those like Athanasius and later Augustine to defend the truth of His nature against lies? Where would we be if we didn't have the history of the Bible? Where would we be if men and women had not died to smuggle it and to get it to printers? And where would we be if those had not died to protect the Scriptures and to give us the Gospel? We would still be languishing under papal tyranny. We would still be languishing. You know how you get saved? We don't know if you've ever done enough or not. Go say 50 Paternosters. Go say 50 Hail Marys. Go to the priest. Do your confession. Give us some money. Here's the box right here. Drop it in. Because as soon as the coin in the box clinks, the soul from purgatory goes free. We would still be there in that utter banality and false religion. I need to know that history. I need to be... God did that. Men didn't do that. If you know anything about Martin Luther or Melanchthon or Knox or Calvin, these men did not have armies. But they had the captain and they had the Word of God, and this is what God did. And so God tells us, don't forget. And by the way, just as an aside, we're going to go through periods, and you're going to go through them in your life, where it feels dry. And you like, man, I don't know. I'm just not getting as much out of that preacher anymore. I'm not getting, you know, this or that. And this is happening. You know what? That's when you're supposed to go to the cupboard. Okay, faith goes to the cupboard. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember I saved my favorite crackers right there in the back. Okay, or I saved my favorite popcorn. Right? And now I'm going to pull it. Oh, that's what faith does with, let me remember. Oh, yeah, let me remember what Luther did and how he stood at the Diet of Worms. And he said, you know, here I stand, unless I can be convinced by conscience and by the light of Scripture. Oh, yeah, oh, that's why God saved the gospel for me. And or you think you can more personally. This is why in the past Christians have kept diaries. Okay, and they didn't keep them in the cloud. They kept it written in their own hand, so that in darker times They could go back and look at their 12 rocks out of the river. They could go back and remember, wait a minute, I was here and the Lord delivered me. Man, let me go back and praise the Lord again for what He has done for me. And I may not right now be feeling great, and it may be a difficult season in my journey, but He's done these things for me so that I can think about them and remember them. And maybe it was a kind word when you needed it, or He did something to answer a prayer about your husband or your wife or your child. And, oh, let me praise Him again. And suddenly, again, our heart is lightened and encouraged because we are doing what we have been created and redeemed to do, and that is to show forth His praises. Think about this. 12 men, 12 rocks to remember the works of the Lord. Now, the middle section, verses 10 through 19 of the chapter, has to deal with the crossing itself. And that's pretty straightforward, just a few points. Notice the priests and the fighting men go across first. And again, it's a reminder to us men that we have the responsibility to lead in courageously obeying God's Word, in self-denial, in kindness, in tenderness, in faith. It's not enough to, you know, have the position of father or the position of pastor, but you need to take seriously God's command in your life and God's office and calling upon your life to lead courageously and faithfully God's people. Notice in verse 14 that as they cross, and by the way, only about 40,000. So if you go back to Numbers, you'll read that the total number of fighting men for Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh was about 110,000 just for those 2.5 tribes. If you add the numbers together, only about 40,000 of those actually crossed. Again, it doesn't mean they were unfaithful. It just means that they had to guard their own borders behind. And so some of them stayed behind. My guess is that since the conquest of Jordan or of Canaan lasted 7 years, it was probably a rotation. And those 40 would go back and another 40 would come in, etc. But all the fighting men cross over. The ark crosses over. Notice verse 14. The Lord exalted Joshua. Was that safe for Joshua? Well, yes, because what? He trusted. You know, we learn from our Lord Jesus. Do you want to be exalted? Take the lowest spot. And if you think about Joshua's history, I mean, talk about a man who could have been, to use an old Southern word, peeved. Okay? He's like, I've been here before. Actually, about 38 and a half years ago, when I was a little bit younger, okay, I was here. And I was here with your mamas and your daddies, my age, and I told them we could take the land. They didn't believe me. And God killed them all in the wilderness over the next almost 40 years. And now here I am again. But there's nothing that tells us that Joshua, you know, like Moses, he was patient, he waited on the Lord, and he faithfully served and did everything the Lord commanded him. And so God exalted him as a reminder that we should not seek preeminence for ourselves, but if we humble ourselves, the Lord will raise us up. And those who honor Him, those He will honor. And verses 15 through 19 just record the movement of everything, the special verse 18, that as soon as the priests came up out of the Jordan River carrying the ark and their souls touched the dry land, which means past the floodplain, this wouldn't have just been, you know, 10 feet and then they stopped. This would have been, because remember, this was the Jordan was in flood stage during this period. As soon as that happened, the rushing came back and the waters came back down and the Jordan took its normal position again. And again, this happened, verse 19, on the 10th day of the first month. So this would have been Nisan is what that month is called. The 10th day, almost 40 years to the day of when God delivered His people from Egypt. Now, what are they supposed to do with that? Verses 20 through 24, again, set up the memorials, the 12 stones. So again, I'll just ask a question. What are yours? Do you have memorials? Well, God's never done anything for me. You need to come to Him then and believe on the name of His Son And if God is for you, who could be against you? So you need to have some. Every believer has memorials. I mean, if you have no anything else, there came a day, as Calvin said about himself, when God subdued my heart to teachableness. And God made a believer out of me. Praise Him for that. Remember that. Remember the answered prayers. Study history so that you can see the great works of God. And you may say, well, I don't have time to read all these. Read your Bible. Okay, the Bible is the Christian's praise book because it's the inspired record. Historians, humanly speaking, can err. But God's book does not. Know these histories. These are our. By the way, you might say, is he just being crazy? Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. I mean, this is how Scripture tells us we're supposed to handle it. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. As he's just recounted the Exodus and then how the people became idolaters and fornicators and the Lord Jesus destroyed them. Very specifically here that's Christ that destroyed them. And that verse 9, nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. Then he comes to verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition so that we could sit on our hands and yawn. Okay? No, it doesn't say that. It says they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I'll give you a very pertinent thing. Go to Mark. I'll just pick a passage here in Mark. I don't have one off the top of my head. How do we handle the history of Christ? Go to Mark. Oh, let's see. How about Mark 6? Mark 6. How do we handle these histories of Christ? Mark 6:45. This is how we're supposed to set up our memorials. This is what Scripture is. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said to them, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. Okay, I've read that 20 times. Well, wait a minute. So here is our mighty Savior. And so he's had a very busy day, and he goes and prays. That's one lesson, okay? You know, just because I've been busy doing the work of the Lord, that doesn't mean I don't need to go pray. Secondly, he walked on the seas. Okay, and this gets into what we were talking about this morning. Wait a minute, what good does it do? Why? Ask questions of the Bible. Interact with the mind of the Spirit. Why do I need to know that Jesus walked on the water? Well, because he was a superhero. No, because he controls everything. Because he's not, the world is not what we think it is. And our Savior is not some weakling who just is subject to circumstances like we are. He is the Lord of creation, which makes his suffering on the cross so powerful. But that's not all. The disciples are, isn't it funny, there's like two levels here, isn't there? Jesus is walking on the water, and I don't know how in the world we could ever portray this, but it's stormy and choppy and the wind is blowing, and he's just walking on the water. The water obeys him, the wind and the seas obey him, and he's just, and the disciples are like pulling at the boat, like, man, we're drowning and it's the end of the world. And they see him and they scream and it's a ghost, and then, no, it's I. Don't be afraid. What are we supposed to do with this history? You know, we're taught in Scripture that the wind and the waves of the sea are oftentimes a symbol of the struggles of life and the storms of life. And who sits as king above those floods? Psalm 29. Our Savior does. And what does He say to us in the middle of those storms? It's me! Don't you know who I am? Yes, you're in this hospital bed, or yes, you're alone, or yes, you're facing this very difficult decision, and you don't know what's going to happen if you stand for me. But don't forget, it's me! It's me! I'm the same one who was with Joseph in Egypt and Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was with Blandina while they're picking her flesh off with hot pliers and she's still confessing Christ. I was with Tyndall. I'm with all of them. I'm with Pastor Yee this morning as he wakes up in the prison cell again. It's me. You're safe. It's me. We don't just passively, oh, I read that. Let me check it off. Where am I now? No. This is the living Christ. These histories are living because they're the histories of what God has done for us. So we go back to Joshua 5. Let me encourage you, like or Joshua 4, set up your memorials. Do you have them? Does anybody in your family know what God's done for you? Have you forgotten to tell them? Well, I don't want to tell them what he did, because then I'll have to tell them what I did. Or where I was, and that won't make me look too good. Okay, so I need to pretend that I've always been this holy, okay? I've always known this much. I've always been this sanctified. Instead of, no, let me, why all the hymns that we love and sing, particularly, you know, John Newton's come to mind. Why does he sing Amazing Grace? Because he was a slave ship captain, and he made no bones about it. I was lost. I was blind. But now I can see. Because of what God did for me. And can you imagine God's people have been singing this now for what? 300 years? As a testimony to the God who opens the eyes of the blind. You think the world needs to hear that right now? You think the world needs to hear that there's a God who doesn't leave people in Marxist blindness, in Marxist, you know, gender-bending blind? You think the world needs to hear, but we're not telling. Oh, well, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. And, you know, maybe we need to redefine sin and attraction. And no, let's just speak the truth and set up our memorials to the great God. Second, we need to make sure, and again, he says it again here, tell your children so that when they see and ask, what are these stones? This is what the Lord did for us. And I would encourage you, I'll never forget the night, I'm sure I've shared this, I mean, I've been here a long time, I don't have any new stories, but it made a huge impression, except about my cat, okay. I'll never forget the night, my dad, I don't even remember what he was reading, I was probably 8 or 9, maybe 10, and he's reading the Bible and he starts crying. And he just wants to tell us. He just wants to tell us the story again of how God saved him. It's like, ding, 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 bolt gun. Thank you for telling me that this morning. Bolt gun. Mediator. Jesus saved my daddy. My daddy was a soldier. He shot people. He was shot. Now, oh, daddies, your children, they don't need just to hear you pontificating as if you've got all the answers and they're the slaves going. They need to hear God has done great things for us. Let me tell you about them. Let me tell you about history and the way that God has preserved His people. Because right now you see what's happening. We're burning everything down. We don't want, and nobody's going to say that Western history and even to the degree that Christians were involved was perfect. But we don't want any reminders. We don't want to read the Mayflower Compact, so we'll just make up our own version of 1619, which has no basis in reality. We'll just make it up. Okay, and burn down everything else. Instead of, do we even know anymore that in that third year after the pilgrims came here, they were dying. And Cotton Mather records following John Winthrop's journal that there had been no rain. And, you know, knee high by the 4th of July just wasn't happening to the corn. And it was decimated. And this is like the fledgling little colony. And the Indians had already helped them and they were working together. But nobody had any food because nobody had any water. And they said, we just got to get together and we've sinned against God. And so they called a day of fasting and praying and they all got together. And this happened several times over the next 75 years. And wouldn't you know it, while they're at the prayer meeting, it starts raining and it keeps raining and the crops revived and they had enough. God answered that prayer for them. He gave them water. Now to hear the atheist and the secularist and the cloud seeders and all that are out there, no, we control the weather. No, we don't. God does. And our children need to hear from us the true history of the world, not from those who are blind and want to write a satanic history of the world. Lastly, why is all this? Verse 24. That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord. And notice here, it's very specific. It's not just the hand of God in general. It's the hand of Yahweh, the Lord of the covenant, our Savior, that it is mighty and you may fear the Lord your God forever. So notice two purposes for this. One, so that the whole earth will know God's power. So again, another great motivation for us to gospel and to tell people what God's done for us, because, wait a minute, God did that for you? God answered your, who is this God? And beloved, if 75% of the population of the United States does not go to church today, then that means 75% of the population are not getting anything. We won't even talk about the other 25%, but the 75 are not getting anything. And so for you to tell, wait a minute, no, there's a God. He hears prayer. He forgives sin. What sin? Sin's breaking His law. What law? The Ten Commandments. We need to tell what God has done so that the world will know His power, but also so that we and our children may fear Him. Now, what is that? I want to be real clear about what fear means. Since we are actually told more times in the Bible, about 450, I believe, is the number, to fear the Lord, even more times than to love the Lord. What does it mean to fear Him? I think three or four things when I see that word. Adore, trust, love, and obey. Adore, trust, love, and obey. We are to adore Him. Do you adore Him? Have you told the Lord recently, many times hopefully, Lord, I love You because You have heard my voice. Psalm 116. I love You for what You have done for me. You are wonderful. That's what You were created to do. Not to, you know, lick Your wounds. Man, life's given me a bad, you know, rap. My children have done this. My spouse hasn't done that. No, You are wonderful and I adore You. Let me ask everybody here this morning or this evening, do you adore the Lord? And are you telling Him that you adore Him? That you don't want anything beyond Him. Can you say with David in Psalm 139, or is it Asaph in 73, whom have I in heaven but You? And there is no one on earth that I want beside You. My heart and my flesh may fail, but You are my portion forever. Do you adore Him? Second, do you trust Him? Oh, so if God did all this for all them and the Jordan and the Daniel and all these other characters and the Reformation. How, have you ever thought seriously, how in the world did Luther beat the Pope? Luther had no armies. Now granted, he did finally have some princes step up to kind of begrudgingly at first give him a little bit of support. And he had, of course, one of the local German rulers who kind of guarded him. But the Pope had armies and the Emperor. How did God's Word beat an atheist, blaspheming Pope? Because there's nothing more powerful than God's Word. How did God's Word through Calvin, and how did it beat King Francis I of France? Who again was a wishy-washy man at best, and I won't get into all of his personal history. Because nothing is more powerful than God's Word. So, we not only need to adore the Lord, but just trust Him. We're not in this place. Yes, I know the storm winds are blowing and they look and feel differently. They do to me too. And yes, we could talk about all that. But we need to remember Mark 6. And I didn't plan to talk about that night. But remember Mark 6. It's me. What are you afraid of? It's me. Do you trust the Lord? And now, of course, our Savior who dwells with us by the Holy Spirit. So to fear the Lord is to adore Him, to trust Him, of course, to love Him and to obey Him. And so, you know what? Since the Lord has done all these great things for me, has He revived you recently? Make sure you write it down on a piece of paper, record it somewhere so you can read it later. Has He answered a prayer, guided you to a job, provided for you? Answered your prayer by, has He just kept you from believing foolishness right now? Bless him for that. It's not because you're strong or smart. It's because he is faithful and powerful. Now set up our memorials. Maybe make a picture of it on the wall. We've got some good artists here. Maybe make some, you know, write God's scriptures. I can't write God's scriptures on the wall of my house. It won't go with my decor. Okay, well, find a color that will and put stenciling of God's word. Never forget what the Lord has done for you. Now, why do we need this warning? Because you and I, the more we forget, the weaker we are. And the sadder we are and the more depressed we are because we're trying to be flying cats. Okay? We're trying some other purpose, something else to fill the void of our life instead of, I am created to be a lover, a truster. I'm created to be an adorer and a praiser of the God who has done such great things for His people. I promise you, if you commit yourself to praising the Lord, your life will change in short order. Okay? Because you are getting back, oh, this is the way, walk ye in it. It's not the way of complaining. It's not the way of, you know, biting our nails to the quick because of what the fools are doing out there. It is about, I'm going to live for God's praise. I'm going to trust my Savior. I'm going to tell my children. I'm going to commemorate and not forget the great God and Savior that I serve. And I'm going to commemorate it. And by the way, those of you who, lastly, those who are older, and I realize, and I hear this a lot, and it breaks my heart. You know, I'm not as strong as I used to be, but you've got a different, all of you are going to be there. So it's not just the ones, don't look around and look at Bob Bailey or anything like that at all. Okay, but those of you who, you might think, well, I'm not as strong as that. You have another function. You are the keeper of the memorial of the mighty works of God. So you need to be speaking it, praying it, telling the young people about it while their heads are down. Young parents are down with the burdens of the day and raising the next generation. Your head's up. Hey, don't forget the Jordan. Don't forget what God has done. Don't forget. Remember, He is faithful. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our God, we thank You for this passage of Scripture, and we confess that we often forget, and it totally falls out of our mind. We get busy and we think what we're doing is important, and we forget to praise You, which is the most important. We ask that You would help us, that we would adore You and love You and cling to You and trust You, and that we would tell others and our children, especially our grandchildren, the great things You have done for us. Help us not to be embarrassed, to give all praise to You and to completely deflect from ourselves. Oh Lord, bless our children that they would have an interest in these things, and help us to make sure we set up the appropriate safeguards so that they are not like Dinah, who goes out to look at the daughters of the land and how they think and live and dress. But Lord, help us to show in our homes and the way we parent that no, we are different. We are God's people. We are interested in what He has done. Oh Lord, help us and give our children a heart for that as well. Thank You for Your wonderful word. In Jesus' name, amen.